ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया। भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 56 एंटाइटल द श्यामंतका ज्वेल टेक्स्ट 45। भगवान आह नमनीम प्रतिच्छामो वयम नृपा तवास्ताम देव भक्तस्य वयम् च फलभागिना। भगवानाह नमनीम प्रतिच्छामो वयम् नृपा तवास्ताम् देव भक्तस्य वयम् च फलभागिनः। भगवानाह नमनीम प्रतिच्छामो वयम् नृपा तवास्ताम् देव भक्तस्य वयम् च फलभागिनः। भगवानाह नामणि प्रतिच्छामो वयम् नृपा तवास्ताम् देव भक्तस्य वयम् च फलभागिनः। भगवानाह नामणि प्रतिच्छामो वयम् नृपा तवास्ताम् देव भक्तस्य वयम् च फलभागिनः। भगवानाह नामणि प्रतिच्छामो वयम् नृपा तवस्ताम् देव भक्तस्य वयम् च माताजी। भगवानाह नामणि प्रतिच्छामो वयम् नृपा तवस्ताम् देव भक्तस्य वयम् च फलभागिनः। भगवानाह नामणि प्रतिच्छामो वयम् नृपा तवास्ताम् देव भक्तस्य वयम् च फलभागिनः। ट्रांसलेशन। भगवान् द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड आह सेड नॉट मणिम द ज्वेल प्रतिच्छाम डिजायर बैक वयम वी नृप ओ किंग तव योर्स आस्ताम लेट इट रिमेन देव ऑफ द डेमी गॉड द सन गॉड सूर्य भक्तस्य द डिवोटीज वयम वी च ऑल्सो फल ऑफ इट्स फ्रूट्स भागिनः एंजॉयर्स। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय द सर्वेंट्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड टोल्ड सत्राजीत We do not care to take this jewel back, O king. You are the sun god's devotee, so let it stay in your possession. Thus, we will also enjoy its benefits. Purport. Satrajit should have worshipped Lord Krishna, the Supreme God. Thus, there is certainly a touch of irony in Lord Krishna's saying, "After all, you are a devotee of the Sun God." Furthermore, Krishna had already acquired Satrajit's greatest treasure, the pure and beautiful Satyabhama. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 56th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Shamantaka Jewel. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desha Tarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhagavan aha namanim pratichhamo vayam nirpa tavastam deva bhaktasya vayam cha phalabhaginaha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead told Satrajit, "We do not care to take this jewel back, O King. You are the Sun God's devotee, so let it stay in your possession. Thus, we will also enjoy its benefits."
Hare Krishna. So first I would like to beg for the blessings of all the worshipable senior God brothers who are sitting here listening and all the devotees who are here to speak on this topic.
So this is a very interesting chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Shamantaka Jewel, filled with lot of adventure and lot of lessons that we can pick up from
So pardon me for my utter ignorance. Yeah, so this is a very beautiful chapter filled with a lot of lessons. And you know, we have been discussing over the last couple of weeks about this beautiful pastime of how just because of attachment to this Shyamantaka jewel, how Satrajit gets completely bewildered, moves so far away from Krishna, and then when the jewel gets lost, because his brother Prasena goes out with it into the forest, then he starts spreading rumors about Krishna, and then ultimately Krishna himself has to take matters into his own hands and go to the forest, retrieve the jewel, come back and give it to Satrajit and say, and give it back, as yesterday Vishwaroop Prabhu was explaining, that he doesn't just give it to him in the corridor somewhere. He formally calls him to the court, and in the court he gives him that jewel. So it's like a very formal thing that, ye lo bhai, aapka jewel aapke hawale kar raha hun. And then Satrajit goes through many emotions. He probably goes through a lot of guilt. He feels guilty that, oh my God, what have I done? Because as it is, the residents of Dwarka had started cursing him. Because when he went, when Krishna went to the forest and they all came back without Krishna, so they saw very clearly it is because of, Satrajit only that we have lost Krishna. And because of your attachment, because of you, because of, the way you are behaving, Krishna had to go to the forest, and then all this would not have happened. It all happened because of you. So it's very interesting that in this whole story we are able to see how Krishna very beautifully demonstrates to us that how attachment to any of our possessions can take us so far away from him. And in this particular verse, Krishna very nicely tells him that we do not care to take this jewel back. I am not interested in this jewel. Krishna, finally, after the whole thing is over, itna sab hone ke baad, after all this is done, then finally, Satrajit says, okay, Krishna, you keep this jewel, So Krishna says, we do not want this jewel. And he shows his supreme opulence of renunciation. So, in this particular verse, the flavor of renunciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes out very nicely. And I thought I'll speak a little bit about that topic. Of course, we are the worst people to speak about renunciation amongst so many renunciates. It is very difficult to speak on this topic. But it is an interesting topic, so I'll just touch briefly upon it. That of the six primary opulences that one speaks about, we speak about beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, strength, and renunciation. So, of all these opulences, why is it that we count renunciation as also one of the opulences? It's easy to understand that beauty is an opulence. Very easily one can, you can see that beauty is an opulence. One can see wealth as an opulence, very easy to understand. One can see fame, one can see strength, one can see knowledge. So how is renunciation an opulence? Why is it an opulence? So, basically, the nature of this material world is such that we very easily, without any special effort, we very easily get attached to our possessions. Whatever possessions, whatever limited possessions we may have in this world, limited or more possessions we may have in this world, we tend to get attached to them very easily. If you look at it, for a person who is having some beauty, some good looks, very easily they become proud of their good looks and they become very, very possessive of these good looks. Similarly, if someone has some intelligence, any sort of intelligence that one is able to memorize, topics very nicely, or someone is able to solve problems, you know, very easily, whereas others are struggling to just understand what the problem is. So, naturally one tends to get a little proud about it. What to speak of strength. People are completely, you know, the whole Bhagavatam is full of stories where people were intoxicated by the power that they had. And because of that power, they were, you know, fighting against Krishna and thinking that they would win. You know, the intoxication of one's opulence is so strong that it actually takes away your intelligence. If you have any opulence in great measure, there is a high likelihood that it steals away your intelligence. You forget that, you know, really I am a very limited, very infinitesimal living entity with so little, really we have been given so little, we have so little opulence, but still one can tend to get proud of what little one has. You know, as we have heard before, even the beggar is proud of his penny. Even if, you know, a beggar has one penny. I remember many years back, we had seen, you know, one movie, it was a silent movie, in which the protagonist of the movie, he is actually very poor. He has no opulences at all. He's a complete, matlab, good for nothing. He has no job, he has no money at all. And then he comes, you know, he's walking on the street. He's walking on a bridge. And on that bridge, he sees one beggar. You know, a beggar who is completely run down, you know, torn clothes, big haggard expression, beard, and, you know, looking very sorry state of affairs. So he thinks that, you know, okay, let me show him who's the boss here, you know. So he takes out one coin, you know, from his pocket, and he kind of shows it like this. See, I am the owner of this coin, you know, I've got this coin, maybe I can give it to you. So he's showing him that coin, and actually he has only that one coin, he doesn't have anything else. But with that one coin also, he's trying to show that beggar, see, I am your data, I can help you, you know. And then that beggar, you know, he smiles, you know, a gleam of, you know, understanding comes into his eyes. Oh, you're trying to show me that you are richer than me? He says, okay. So he removes from his pocket one 10 rupee note. Then from another pocket, one more note comes out. From another pocket, some coins come out. And then he lifts his chador. You know, there's one chador on which he's sitting. He lifts the chador and it is full of coins and notes. You know? So even that beggar is showing him, well, you're not a beggar. I mean, I'm not a beggar. You're the beggar. You have nothing. You have only 1 rupee. I've got so much. So everyone is proud of everything or every little thing that we possess. And in that situation, you can imagine, you know, like how that attachment gets to us. It doesn't go away easily. When, you know, for example, if you're wearing a dhoti, you know, a dhoti and a kurta, my wife always points out to me that how I'm very attached, you know. So if I bought a particular dhoti and it fits nicely, you know, the men will understand this, the Prabhujis will understand this. If there's a dhoti which is of the perfect length and the perfect height, and it folds very nicely, it doesn't come up too much, it doesn't go down too much, it's just the right length. We don't like to give it away, you know. And for years together, till that dhoti is, you know, almost torn and no longer wearable, we don't feel like giving it away. And finally, when someone suggests that, you know, why not you give it away, we can make something else out of it, we can use it for dusting the house or something. Even at that time, giving it away is a big austerity. We don't feel like doing it. It's very difficult. So, you know, renunciation is therefore, especially for grihasthas, it's a very difficult topic to speak about. You know, we have so many wonderful brahmacharis in this temple, we have so many sannyasis in ISKCON, who have given up so many of their opulences to come here and live as, you know, servants of Shishi Radha Gopinath. So many of them have very good looks, very good personality. So many of them have such great knowledge. You know, IIT graduates and doctors, engineers, chartered accountants, so many people from so many professions have given up, you know, successful working professions, and they have come here and they're just serving Shishi Radha Gopinath. And it's not an easy thing to do, as one can imagine. So therefore, there is a natural admiration that people have for someone who is able to renounce something great. You know, if we as, you know, ordinary living entities, we are not able to give up anything. It's very difficult to give up anything. It's easy to speak that, you know, oh, I am detached, you know, I don't feel anything. But when something is really being taken away from us, we know how much pain we feel. Whatever it is, chota se chota cheez, bade se bada cheez. You know, small thing, big thing, whatever it is, we feel great pain when it is taken away from us. So when you are able to see, when you are able to see the example of people who have given up all their opulences, the so-called opulences that we have been given by the Supreme Lord Himself, when one is able to give up these opulences and attach oneself to the service of the Lord, that is an opulence. Just the power to be able to do that, you know, just having the ability to be able to give up all the other five opulences, to not be attached to one's own opulence or anyone else's opulence also, and just give it up, that is an opulence. Which is why renunciation is, you know, another opulence by itself. And sometimes you can see, you know, when you see a sadhu, when you see a, you know, you see a sadhu coming by, why is it that we feel attracted? It is because of this reason. Because people are able to understand that this person has something which I don't. What is it that the renunciate has? He has that opulence of renunciation. He doesn't have anything else. He may be just wearing some very simple, you know, dhoti and kurta and, you know, just walking along with not a rupee in his pocket and nothing, you know. But just that renunciation that this person is demonstrating by his behavior, by his, you know, achar, it is so attractive that people feel attracted. Just if he just walks along, you know, just like we have seen sometimes, you know, some devotees just walking nicely and just chanting. And just the sight of that is very inspiring for many people. Just to see that someone who is a wonderful sadhu is just chanting. So it's very attractive. The opulence of renunciation is also very attractive. Because, especially because, we cannot give up. When you see someone is able to give up everything of this material world, and you know, renounce everything very easily, things which we are so attached to till our dying days, we are attached to till, while we may be in Krishna consciousness, we may be chanting, we may be following all the principles, but still, in the heart giving up, externally also you may give up, but in the heart really giving up these things is very difficult. And if you have more, what to speak of, if you have more assets, more possessions. For those who don't have much, you know, it's okay, understandable if you show some renunciation. But for someone who has great amount of assets, who has great wealth, huge amount of, you know, knowledge, for them to renounce is even more attractive. And what to speak of Krishna? Now Krishna, see, for us, with the little that we have, for us, it may be possible to renounce to some extent. Because hai hi kitna, how much do we have? We have got so little. So you renounced it, okay, big deal. But if you look at Krishna, who is Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he is the proprietor, controller of everything that exists in this material world. Everything, material and spiritual world. Sarva Loka. But still, he is able to renounce. So that is why Krishna's renunciation is that much more attractive. We are able to see that the Supreme Lord, we say that he has all opulences in full. Right? He has all beauty, he has all strength, all fame, all knowledge. So like that we say he has all these six opulences in unlimited measure. So even the renunciation of Krishna is unlimited. We are able to see it in his, you know, in his pastimes. We are able to see the flavor of, you know, Krishna's renunciation in his pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, this particular pastime, again, Krishna is, you know, actually that jewel, you know, ideally Satrajit should have immediately given it to Krishna or given it to Ugrasen, the king. But Krishna just nicely told him, just once he told him that, you know, it will be nice if you can give it to the king. You know, because this is should be the property of the king. But especially given that it is, you know, capable of producing 170 pounds of gold every day. which is worth some, 25 crores, 25 crore rupees in today's terms per day. This is what that jewel was producing. So you can imagine what kind of opulence it was creating. So Krishna very nicely suggested, for his own good, because Krishna is able to see past, present and future. So he probably knew what is coming, and therefore he nicely suggested that I give you an option, you could probably give it to the king. But Satyajit was not willing. But Krishna didn't hold on to that. He didn't. Now Krishna even knows the future. He even knows that because this jewel is with Satyajit, very soon his name is going to be dragged into this. He knew it. He already knew that Satyajit would go and start blaspheming that, this Krishna must have killed my brother and taken away the jewel. He already knew this. He knows the future as well. But still, he didn't try to browbeat Satyajit or, pressurize him into giving away the jewel to change the future. No. He gave him the free will. No problem. If you don't want to, no problem. So, so many other things. We see Krishna, like we saw this beautiful drama in the drama festival. Separation that the gopis feel when they are, separated from Krishna. Uddhava goes to Mathura goes to Vrindavan to meet all the Vrajavasis, and he sees the wonderful love that the Vrajavasis have, love in separation of Krishna. So very beautifully depicted in that drama. So that kind of love, if somebody is receiving, you can imagine, in the material world we don't receive much. We receive love from our near and dear ones, from our family, from our relatives, from our friends. We receive some love. And that little love that we get, creates so much attachment in the material world. We are so attached because of that. We imagine the kind of love that Krishna shared with the Vrajavasis. It is not even possible to imagine in our tiny brains. That drama very beautifully showed that those sentiments, that what depth of love that they have. It's just like, we are trying to remove Krishna from our heart, but we are not able to. We want to forget him, but we are unable to. That kind of love the Vrajavasis had for Krishna. But that love Krishna renounced. He left the Vrajavasis and he went to Mathura. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. So the sadhunam, he has come for the deliverance and, to reciprocate with the sadhus. Krishna incarnates, he comes here. But he actually renounced that love and went to Mathura for the remainder of the verse. Vinashaya cha dushkritam. Because that was also required. He needed to do dharma samsthapanarthaya. He needed to re-establish the religious principles. Therefore, when someone loves you so much and you love them so much, okay, it's one thing if someone loves you and you have no love for them, then it's easy to renounce. But Krishna loves the Vrajavasis more than anyone else in this universe, in this whole creation. There is no one that Krishna loves more, and there is no one who loves Krishna more than the Vrajavasis. But still, Krishna was able to renounce and go away, and he never went back. It's another thing that he never went back till many, many years later. As the drama, it was depicted that he went in the end, towards the end. So, this is the wonderful renunciation of Krishna. Even when you see, after he went to Mathura, and over there he killed Kamsa. Right? He killed Kamsa, and when he was killing Kamsa also, it was like there was a popular surge, When Krishna came in, already he had killed Kuvalapid, he had broken the bow of Lord Shiva, and already people of, Mathura were, everyone was waiting for Krishna to arrive on the scene, and there was great popular support for him, the whole crowd was behind him. And then when Krishna and Balaram killed Chanur and Mushtik, the whole crowd was probably, everyone was cheering, come on Krishna, come on Krishna. And then Krishna dragged Kamsa down and killed him. So you can imagine the kind of popular support that Krishna must have. People were living under Kamsa's rule for so many years. They were sick and tired of him. Kab marega? When will this person die? But then Krishna comes
And in one go, he just kills him. It's over. Story is over. So what would the popular sentiment be at that time? This person should be the king. Right? He should be our leader. He is the one who delivered us from Kamsa. He should be our leader. But no. Krishna did not take the role of the king. Very respectfully, he went. He released Ugrasen and his parents from the prison. And he very respectfully installed Ugrasen on the throne. And Ugrasen remained on the throne till the end. He was the king of, Mathura and then later Dwarka. Krishna has called Dwarkadish, but he never took the role of the king. He is not interested in that. In the deliverance of Narakasur, Narakasur, after killing Narakasur, his son, the Mother Earth came and she speaks beautiful prayers to Krishna. And Krishna then makes his son, gives him Abhaydan, that don't worry. I am there to protect you, don't worry. After killing Jarasandha, he killed Jarasandha. After killing Jarasandha, again, it was very easy because Arjuna and Bhima were there, But instead of, either asking Arjuna or Bhima to sit on the throne or to annex that kingdom, say, okay, I'm taking it under my control. No, he installed the son of Jarasandha, Sahadev, as the king of, Magadha. And ask him to continue the rule. So Krishna, his sole purpose, if you see, is not to, take control of anything or to, sit on the throne. He's not interested. Even Lord Ram, after the killing of Ravana, how easy would it have been for him to annex? Okay, I have killed the king of Lanka and all the wealth. Lanka was the most opulent country, full of gold. Ravana had brought gold from all over the world and, stored it there. So it was just so extremely opulent. All the palaces were made of gold. You can imagine what opulence Ravana had. But Krishna, Lord Ram, instead of trying to annex Lanka and say, okay, now this is under the sovereign control of Ayodhya, because he was anyway going to go back to Ayodhya. 14 years were over. He was anyway going to go back to Ayodhya. He could have said, this is under my rule. And now, okay, Vibhishan, you can be here, but, this is my country, this is my land. No. He just installed Vibhishan as the king. And Vibhishan would not have minded, mind you. He would never have minded if Ram had said that, okay, this is my land, this is my country now. No. He would have been very happy. Vibhishan would have been very happy because he was a devotee of Lord Ram. But Lord Ram's standard is what? He renounced. He said, Vibhishan, you be the king. And he went back. And even when he went back, he told, His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj was mentioning in Hampi, the Hampi lectures, that how he sent Hanuman ahead, that you go and give the message to Bharat that I am arriving very soon. And if you see even a flicker of attachment on his expression, even a flicker, little bit also if you sense, because Hanuman was expert. Hanuman was expert in everything. So he said, even if you see a flicker of attachment on his face, you please tell me I will not go. So after 14 years also, he was not attached to the kingdom. He was not at all attached. It's alright. If Bharat wants to be the king, very nice. He is fit to be the king, let him continue. I have no problem. So this is the wonderful attachment of the Supreme Lord. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is described how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so renounced. He gave up. What did he give up? He was known as Nimai Pandit. He was a great Pandit of the Shastra, and he was teaching Shastra. He was teaching grammar to his students, and with that level of scholarship, his scholarship was so great that he was defeating Digvijay Pandits like this. Right? He could have just continued doing that. There's this story that is given. I read about it. I remember where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one person approached him, he had written some commentary on, I don't remember what, what scripture, he had written some commentary. And then he came to know that Nimai Pandit has also written a commentary on the same thing. So he immediately became dejected. He said that, oh, if you have written, if Nimai Pandit has written a commentary, who will read my commentary? You know, he just kind of expressed. It was like a moment of dejection. He just kind of expressed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And immediately he, Nimai Pandit, took whatever commentary he had written and threw it into the Ganges. But he's not interested in, you know, his own glorification or anything. The Lord does not want any fame. He's not in, his fame is there all over the world. He's not attached to his fame. He's willing to run away from the battle because more important things need to be done. Muchukunda needs to be delivered. Rukmini needs to be rescued. So that is more important. It's okay if I become infamous. He's okay to leave his fame of being a Kshatriya by running away from the battle. So this is the renunciation of the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, you know, even willing to give up that position he had. He was willing to give up his beautiful wife who was, you know, was serving him so wonderfully. Give up his mother who was so loving towards him. He was willing to give up all of them. Why? He was willing to give up his associates. The wonderful associates he had, the Panchatattva, you know, the beautiful kirtans they used to have at Shivas Thakur's home every day. He was willing to give up all that. Why? For the deliverance of all of us. So, this renunciation of the Supreme Lord, we are able to see in everything. He has all opulences in full measure, but he is able to give it up. Krishna is attached to us, you know, as his children. He is attached to all of us. Krishna loves us and is attached to us. And, you know, he tries in so many ways. If you see, Krishna in so many ways tries to attract us back to Godhead. You know, he's done everything to try and attract us back to his loving association. But we, hum hai ke, as they say, you know, hum hai ki kuch karne ko tayar nahi. We are not willing to change our ways. Krishna has given us his beautiful Archa Vigraha form. He has given us his holy name. He has given us the association of the Vaishnavas. He has given us his vani in the scripture. He has given us prasad. He has appeared in so many ways. Why get attracted to something? There must be something that you will get attracted to. Because of that you will get attracted to Krishna. There must be something, some element. There are so many ways in which Krishna manifests in this material world just to attract our hearts back. That's all. That's his only purpose. But despite that, he respects the free will of the living entity. Though he is giving us himself, he is standing here in front of us in Shishirada Gopinath Mandir. He is standing here daily. We come, we take darshan, and we go away, you know, without giving our hearts to him. But he is okay, he is waiting. That someday maybe, you know, you will really come and really take darshan of me. You will really want to give your heart to me, not just say it. You will really give your heart. But Krishna is completely respecting our free will. You don't want to surrender now? No problem. I am willing to wait. He is waiting and waiting, and he has been waiting for God knows. He knows. Krishna knows how many lifetimes, how many millions of lifetimes we have been, you know, threatening to surrender to the Lord. That I'll surrender. And he says, okay, please surrender. I'm waiting. But we are not surrendering. He is so detached. You know, for example, you know, to understand what Krishna goes through. See, he's given us so much, right? He's given us the scriptures, he's given us temples, he's given us so many, he's given us sadhus, so many things Krishna has given us. So in one sense, he is kind of preaching to us indirectly that, you know, give up the material world and come back to me. But we are saying no. Now, many of us in this room would be preachers. We preach, you know, go to satsang programs, we go here, there and preach. Now, what would you feel if you have preached to someone for many years? You know, sometimes we see in satsang programs, there are some people whom we preach, they come for every program. They come, they sit with their eyes closed, very nicely shaking their heads during the lecture. And after the lecture, as they come over, they come and say, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very nice lecture. But they never take to the process of devotional service, right? Many of you would have observed that when you're preaching, they remain on the boundary as well-wishers. By we wish well. Aap achha kaam kar rahe, you're doing good stuff. Keep it up. Well done. Do it nicely. But they will never take it up. How do we feel? Don't we feel a little frustrated? Don't we feel that why this person is not taking? You know, so nicely I am preaching, but he's not taking it. He's not accepting Krishna consciousness. Why is he not able to get it? We get attached to the result. We don't take it as a service. We get attached to the result. That I am preaching for so many years, but I am not getting any result. Sometimes we become like that. It's unfortunate. But even in preaching, a materialistic, you know, outlook may come that this congregation is not growing. There were, 30 devotees 5 years back. Today there are only 50. It's not growing. You know, so that mentality can come into us. Imagine what Krishna is thinking. For so many lifetimes, maybe through so many means, he has been trying to, you know, very subtly explain to us, ki, bhai, you should now renounce, you know, and come back. But no, we are not willing to do. Imagine what Krishna goes to. That is why in this purport it is mentioned that the irony, you know, it says that there is certainly a touch of irony in Lord Krishna saying, after all, you are a devotee of the sun god. You know, he's telling Satrajit that after all, you are a devotee of sun god. So, this is given to you by sun god, so you keep it. You know, I don't want. This is given by sun god and you are a devotee of sun god, so you keep it. If you look at it, what is the situation of Satrajit? Okay, he is living, you know, he is living amidst Krishna in Dwarka. So, it's not as if he was living in a different kingdom. He was living within Dwarka, Satrajit. He had a palace, but he was living within Dwarka. So, in the association of Krishna, day in and day out, surrounded by devotees on all sides, right? In Dwarka, they are all devotees. They are all lovers of Krishna, in a different mood, different rasa, but they are all lovers of Krishna. Every one of them is a pure devotee of Krishna. He is living in that association day in and day out. Plus, every day, as it is described in the chapter earlier, you know, that when Satrajit walked into the kingdom wearing the Shamantaka jewel, people thought that Surya has come. You know, Surya Dev himself has come because so much effulgence was coming from his body. Yesterday, Vishwaprabhu very beautifully described that, you know, so much effulgence was coming from his body that they thought Surya Dev has arrived. But they were not very surprised by it because they thought regularly demigods keep coming to meet Lord Krishna to take his darshan. Regularly demigods come, so maybe Surya also came. So they were not very impressed by the whole thing. Okay, you know, Surya Dev has come to meet Krishna. And then they realized it is not Surya Dev, it is Satrajit. So even demigods were coming to meet Krishna every day. Probably Surya Dev himself also came and met Krishna. And Satrajit is worshipping Surya Dev. Still he doesn't get it. Still he doesn't get it. He's living with Krishna. He's living with devotees. He's seeing demigods coming and worshipping Krishna in Dwarka. Still he doesn't get it. He is still attached to his demigod and his jewel. So, what, you know, that is why there is the irony, you know, that despite having all facilities, still this person is unable to surrender to Krishna. And who is the source? Krishna is the source of all demigods and all things. Even this Shamantaka jewel is ultimately coming from Krishna. He is the source of everything. So, being in Dwarka, he should have clearly understood. Now, Dwarka is not as if Satrajit created it himself. It's not that he created Dwarka or, you know, that palace within Dwarka was created by the entire city of Dwarka was created by Krishna overnight. You know, just mass transfer from one city to another city, and next morning when they wake up in this grand, fantastic, you know, city of Dwarka. So, whole thing was created by Krishna. So, an intelligent person, as they say, samajhdar ko ishara kafi hai, but despite so many isharas, you know, Satrajit was unable to understand, you know, and this is the, unfortunately, to some extent, this is our situation also. If you look at our situation, despite being in the association of Shishi Radha Gopinath, they are here, standing here, I mean standing here for last 25 odd years, more than 25 years, giving us their loving association, giving us their loving darshan, they are here. But despite that, we remain attached to our respective Shamantaka jewels. You know, each of us have some Shamantaka jewel that we are attached to. For someone, it may be their bank balance. For someone, it may be their great knowledge of scripture. For someone, it may be their wife. For someone, it may be their children. For someone, it may be their job, their profession, their business. Whatever. Each one has one Shamantaka jewel. You know, despite being in Krishna consciousness, despite having all these facilities, still we are attached to our Shamantaka jewel. And even if we see that that jewel is actually taking us further and further away from Krishna, when we initially came to Krishna consciousness, we were very close to Krishna. You know, then after some time, you're like, you come from very far away and you come very close to Krishna. And then after some time, you know, you kind of recede into the background a little bit. After some years in Krishna consciousness, it can happen that we start receding. We say, okay, you know, I have learned the philosophy, I know Krishna, I love Krishna, I believe in Krishna, but one has to be practical, one has to look after family affairs, one has to look after job and so on and so forth. And we start compromising, we go away, further and further away from Krishna. So our situation is also like Satrajit. And even if Krishna tries to warn us, like he warned Satrajit, he warned, right, told him that, you know, I think you are getting attached to this, you should give it to the king. He tried to warn him. So Krishna tries to warn us also sometimes through devotees, through the Vaishnavas. He tries to warn us that, Prabhu, thoda, I think little bit you are getting into Maya, you are getting too attached. I don't see you in the temple anymore. You know, hardly I see you. You never come for darshan, you never come for Sunday feast, you never come for Bhagavatam. Someone points, immediately what do? We become very defensive. No, 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 what are you saying? I saw you, you didn't see me. You know, become so defensive. Even if it is true, devotee is just gently trying to, you know, tell you, keep maybe little bit, one degree you are going off the path. You become so defensive. No, 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 I am on the path. You know, don't say that. I am very much attached to Krishna. So, we feel that they are speaking out of either envy or a lack of understanding. He is envious that, you know, I am successful. Therefore, he is talking like this. Or he doesn't understand. You know, what are the practical problems that we face? So many things we have to do, plus we have to manage Krishna consciousness. Very difficult. You don't understand the practical problems. So we don't listen to the message. We only get stuck in the words. Therefore, our situation is also like Satrajit. So we have to be so careful. Krishna consciousness teaches us so many lessons. One chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, one verse can teach us so many lessons. We have to understand that how Krishna is renounced, we also ultimately have to become, at least, you know, we cannot be as renounced as Krishna. Really, we, this, you know, as we have heard before in lectures, what is it that we can renounce? When nothing belongs to us, everything belongs to Krishna. We are at the most caretakers, you know, caretaker. As a caregiver or a caretaker, there's so much that you have some responsibility, but you don't own that asset. But despite not having anything in our possession, still we become proud. So we have to understand that everything belongs to Krishna and try to get renounced. So finally, Satrajit, you know, in this section, he saw some sense. Finally he saw sense. After so many incidents happened, Prasena got killed, Krishna came and retrieved the gem and gave it back to him. Finally Prasena saw some sense and he decided to give his daughter, as is described here, daughter and the jewel to Krishna. So what happened? Krishna rejected the jewel. In the spirit of renunciation, he rejected the jewel, but he accepted the greatest treasure that Satrajit had, which was Satyabhama. So very beautiful, yesterday Vishwaroop Prabhu was describing how, what was Satyabhama's emotion, you know, what was her emotion before, well before this incident happened. She had already given her heart to Krishna. From her childhood she had given her heart to Krishna. You know, and this was just a small thing which Krishna arranged. So similarly, if Krishna, you know, if we also, we may also grudgingly accept Krishna's supreme position. You know, somewhere grudgingly we may accept, okay, bhai, Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead. And we may try to also, like Satrajit, try to bribe him. You know, we have done so many wrong things. We may try to bribe Krishna by our small gifts. You know, something we may give to Krishna, some service,
some donation, some small thing we may give to Krishna to try to, you know, pacify, okay Krishna, I accept your position, please accept this. But really Krishna is not interested in those gifts. He is not interested in those Shamantaka jewels that we are offering to him. What is he interested in? He is interested in our heart. He is interested that at what point will we give our heart to him. He is not interested in everything else. You may give him everything else, hold back our heart, that I will not give you my heart. But he is not interested in anything else, because anyway everything belongs to him. Tum doge kya? What will you give him? I remember once Vyasa ki Prabhu had said, the only thing, Krishna has everything, but there is one thing that he does not have. There is only one thing that Krishna doesn't possess in his entire creation. What is that? Your heart. Your love. He is not the possessor of your love, because he is giving you the free will. He is giving you the free will. He is so renounced that he has given you the free will. By, if you want, you can love me. If you don't, that's alright. He is willing to live without our love. So the only thing he craves for is our love. He is waiting for us to give our heart. So like Satyabhama, if we can also give our hearts to Krishna and yearn for his mercy. She waited for a long time, right? Obviously for many years. She was waiting for Krishna to mercifully glance at her. You know, so if we can also give our hearts like this to Krishna and yearn for his mercy, wait that my Lord please give us your mercy, then ultimately, Krishna will by any means, like through this whole pastime, one can say in one sense the whole pastime was arranged so that Jambavati and Satyabhama could become his wives. You know, in one sense that was the only purpose. All this is just time pass, you know, it's all just an incidental affair. The whole purpose was maybe to just bring Satyabhama and Jambavati as his wife. So Krishna will also by any means, by any way possible, if we give our hearts to him, by any means, he will also grab us and take us back to his eternal loving association in the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I request for any comments or questions from anybody. Roji, you would like to say something? Mataji? Any other comments or questions? Anybody? Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari.